3, 2, 1. This is the Insiders Podcast.
One thing that we've seen from the beginning of this industry is it was really not set up for entrepreneurs to succeed.
Today I'm joined by Ari and Tabitha, the founders of a company called Fritz Gummies. These guys started off making gummies for the gray market, and now they do it in the legal arena. It's pretty cool hearing how they started and how they managed to get to where they are today. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Insiders Podcast.
We started this company 6 years ago in the legacy market here in Toronto. Started by making just oil caps, coconut oil caps out of shake that we used to get from one of the original dispensaries around. And then we started making brownies, right? And really not doing anything with them, just giving them to people to try. And from there, we started making gummies not long after. This was right after Project Claudia. So I guess 2016 that we realized all the edibles were gone. These dispensary 2.0 dispensaries were reopening with no edibles. So we kind of realized that people didn't have access. And at the same time, we got invited to the green market to participate in the Toronto green markets, which were kind of like farmers markets for edibles and concentrates and topicals and what they would now call 2.0 products, I guess. And when did we do our first one? 2016?
Oh, maybe 2016.
2016. Yeah, no, it was at Hotbox at 2016. And kind of just expanded from there. We kept doing these markets. We got on some mail order sites. We understood what we were doing was not legal at the time, but really believed in cannabis and in getting people reliable, quality edibles and actually make a living doing it, which was a crazy feeling.
I would say that, you know, that opportunity really gave, the green markets were really crucial in the development of our business because it gave us an opportunity to come face to face with our customer. And we really began to understand exactly what their questions were, what kind of products they wanted, what kind of cannabinoid ratios they were looking for, what things they were treating, what outcomes they were seeking. So we got this really like granular, in your face kind of education and information from our customers, directly from them.
Okay.
That gave us a lot of information about what kind of products we should be making moving forward and what kind of innovations the market wanted and would support.
Yeah, and from there, we were lucky because it allowed us to be flexible, unlike the regulated market. If someone said, hey, why don't you guys try making like infused caramel corn? We'd be like, all right, we'll have it next week.
Yeah.
Right, we'll go home and try that and see how it's sold. We don't have to submit, you know, a product notification to Health Canada and wait 60 days and all the things that come with the challenges that we've learned from that. Yeah, so we were really fortunate. We got to perfect our gummy recipe too.
So the R&D part of it was easy peasy from that perspective.
Yeah. It was really, I like to joke because like, you know, we make gummies at home to start. And if we were out of sugar, we'd run out and grab sugar and come back and use the sugar to make the gummies. We didn't have to go through quality assurance and source it from a place and get the COA that came with it, you know, the certificate of analysis and all these things.
Yeah.
So it was, it really did allow us to be flexible and do R&D that I don't think we would realize that we were doing R&D. We were just like, yeah, hell, well, shit, we'll try that. That sounds fun, right? And some of them worked and some of them didn't.
We've had some like crazy flavor combinations over the years too. Like jalapeno peach and cucumber serrano. Like a lot of spicy ones that we did.
Yeah.
But like the R&D was amazing, right? It just allowed us to get direct feedback from the customer who was like, this is amazing, this disgusting, never make it again.
Yeah.
Right? So you were able to judge exactly how people felt about things.
Can you clarify what a green market is? I'm a West Coast guy, so I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2016, two women from Toronto started what was called the Green Market Toronto.
Okay.
That started with four vendors. I think we were at the first one selling edibles. Someone was selling really nice cookies. We were selling gummies. There was a concentrate vendor there as well.
Yeah.
And they built a following. And it was kind of like, you know, you didn't know where it would be. You'd buy a ticket because it was illegal.
Okay.
And then 24 hours before, the location would be released. And some of them were huge. Some of them had lineups down the block.
Yeah. Wow.
Right?
That's cool.
It's funny. The rationale they used, I have no idea if this is true, for releasing it 24 hours before was that TPS, Toronto Police Services, needed 48 hours to issue a warrant to do anything. But that sounds like such bullshit. There's no way that's true.
You gotta love bureaucracy. So you mentioned the Hot Box. Was that with Abby? Would like did they host them from time to time?
Abby Roach.
Okay.
Abby Roach, a true kind of pioneer in Canada for normalization and legalization of cannabis.
Okay.
Was like, yeah, I understand I'm running a shop, but you know, come upstairs. It was like 107 degrees up there. There were four vendors in this room, and I think they were like letting people on the street know, like, hey, we've got an edibles and concentrate market up here. And I've saw so many people try their first dab at these green markets, right?
Yeah, okay.
And acted like they tried
it. Yeah.
Boom, on the floor.
Yeah, there was a lot, right? And from there, they went to different locations. There were a lot of different locations. They kind of happened every month or every 2 months for about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, but Hot Box is where they started. That's where the original several took place.
Okay.
And we kind of consider like Kensington our home.
Yeah.
Because that's really where we got our start.
So you guys spent 4 or 5 years making edible products for the legacy market, kind of refining what you do. Why did you decide to go legit, I guess, for lack of a better term, or start selling legal products on the legal market?
It was always our goal to get to the regulated marketplace when that became available to us. Like we knew that what we were doing was not sustainable long term, at least not right. for us. It is for some people and that's fine, but for us it wasn't. So, you know, when edibles were legalized in 2019, we started to, even before that, we really started talking to different LPs saying, look, you know, we have this knowledge, we have these formulations, we have really in-depth consumer knowledge, and talking to different LPs about how we could work together. And we did not find anything that really aligned with who we are and the way that we wanted to approach things.
Yeah, until, a very nice way to say it.
Yeah, I'm diplomatic. Until last summer, when we got connected with Meds, it's the LP that we're with now, and they are doing a unique thing. They've got their licensed facility sort of subdivided into 6 different smaller facilities. So we're able to actually rent one of those out. So we operate under their processing and sales license for 2.0 products. So like, you know, we always wanted to make this transition. And it just took a little bit of time, I think, for us to find the right partner to be able to make it with in a way that still allowed us to be true to who we are and to what we want to do.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to take your products from the legacy market to the legal market, I guess there's one of 2 ways you can do it. You can get your own production and sales license, or you can move in-house with somebody who exists with your products and do it under their sort of umbrella or their framework. Is that how it works?
Yep. That's right. That's pretty much the 2 paths to market. Yeah.
Okay. So now you guys are currently selling edible products, gummies specifically, in Ontario, I believe.
Yep. That's right.
Okay. And you have one type of gummy with 2 flavors currently on the market. And your website says that you guys do everything by hand. Is that intentional, or is that just because you guys are a startup and don't have the equipment yet?
No, it's intentional. It really is. We looked at the other gummies out there, and I love candy my whole life, and I like candy that tastes like candy, right? There are a lot of good gummies out there. Majority of them, they're not gelatin based. They're a different kind of texture or flavor. And we didn't want to go the mass production route. We didn't want to pump out these gummies a million a week or whatever it is with these machines. We realized that a big part of what we do is it's the 2 of us that started, and the 2 of us that have been making these gummies by hand for a long time. Is it sustainable for my wrists? No, right? To mix the pod and pour the gummies every day? No, but we're really kind of committed to quality, and we always have been. And our gummies taste like, right? Our gummies really taste like gummies should.
Nice.
So even like we have employees now, we've hired some employees now so that we can expand and make more gummies and to save Ari's wrists for other things. But you know, we still go by our hand poured method, and our employees do everything by hand, and you know, we're in there with them making sure that they're doing things the way that we want them done, because at the end of the day, we care about putting out a quality product, right? Like, there are only so many ways to differentiate your edibles in this industry, especially with dosing limits. So we really care about putting out a quality product that people eat and go, oh, wow, that's a really good gummy. Like, I enjoyed that experience. And then, you know, getting high or having whatever outcome you're looking for on top of that is a bonus, right?
For a long time with edibles, it tastes like shit, but at least it will get me high. Right,
right, of course.
You understood going into it, this wasn't going to be an enjoyable culinary experience. Mm-hmm. But in an hour or so, you've got
it. It's fine. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's all changed, I think, these days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The market is a lot more sophisticated.
Well, the other thing is when you're talking dose and the experience that you're going for, and maybe it was an age thing, but 10 years ago when I ate brownies, you'd get blasted. And it wasn't necessarily a great experience. You're getting super high. But these days, it seems like I'm more interested in finding the right buzz, like just getting myself into that place where I have a nice experience. You know, it's nice for the evening. It's almost the equivalent of having a couple glasses of scotch or something without getting too wasted. did. What's your, I guess, philosophy on edibles and how to, I mean, medical reasons aside, if you're just doing it because you enjoy them, what's your philosophy on taking dose and how much should a person have?
Honestly, it depends on the experience they're looking for and the individual, right? So edibles hit everyone differently, mm-hmm. right? Tabs can speak more to that, but based on metabolism, more than tolerance, right? More than how many. I've seen people smoke 7 blunts in one sitting, and then they ate 10 milligrams and they greened out. They couldn't even handle it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas other people, like Tabitha takes 300 milligrams when she eats edibles. And that's just
really
feel it.
So I have like, I'm missing enzymes, digestive enzymes in my stomach. So I just don't process it.
Wow.
So my tolerance is really not yet.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. You know, I've seen that lay out like 300 pound men, right? With 25, I take probably closer to 50 to 60. So, but we understand too, like I've been eating gummies every single day since I started making
them. Yeah.
Part of the process of making, let's see how these are, right? So we have a bit of a different tolerance, but there are people out that require different dosages.
Of course.
We'd like to see that made available to
yeah.
them.
One thing I think we've really learned is that cannabis works best when it is consumed with intention. So whatever your intention is, you know, whether maybe you want to get high, maybe you want to relax, maybe you want to have a different headspace and a different perspective on the world, maybe sleep. You want to sleep,
yeah.
right? So what there are a myriad of reasons to consume cannabis, but you know, different doses will provide different outcomes and different experiences. So I think the key really for most consumers is to go in knowing what your intention is so that you can choose the right product and the right dosage for whatever that outcome is for you.
Right. There's still a hell of a lot of legacy gummies on the market and their prices and potency. Obviously, they don't have to play by the same rules. How do you feel about that? It's a weird question to ask because on the one hand, you certainly don't want to badmouth the legacy market because we've all played a part in it and purchased from it. On the other hand, you're trying to legitimize your company, your business, and sell on the legal market, and you have to compete against these guys. You know, I don't even know how to ask the right question
that's
here.
That's a great question. I don't think we're competing with the right solely based on price and dosage restrictions.
They're serving a different market.
I'll tell you this, there are products on the legacy market that are mind-blowingly good. Mm-hmm. Like there are gummies out there, I would say literally dozens of companies that are making phenomenal gummies serving a need. I don't want to take that newly regulated approach of, wow, no, it's not tested and you know what's in it. Those things are true. But also the consumers know this going in. The majority of consumers that are eating legacy market gummies go, this batch tasted a little weaker than the other one.
Yeah.
We got the emails. Right? Oh, you know, sorry, we'll send you a free pack of gummies and new supplier purchase, right?
Yeah.
But what we would like to do is bring the best of those companies and as many as essentially want to come to the legal market.
Yeah.
And that is actually our goal, is to say, hey, you're killing this in the legacy market. If you want to keep doing that, good for you. We support anyone who wants to keep doing mm-hmm. that. Absolutely.
100%.
There's a gummy company out there in the legacy market that is making probably 10 times as much as we will ever.
Yeah.
And they're killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And their packaging is beautiful. And the gummies are magnificent tasting gummies. They're doing everything right. And their risk tolerance says, hey, okay, we'll keep doing this for as long as we can.
And as long as Health Canada does not increase dosing limits on edibles, you're going to have a market for that, right?
Yeah.
Like that serves a consumer. I'm not going to go spend all like $300 on, you know, edibles in a legal store just to get high. That doesn't work for me, right? I'm able to make my own at home, which is great, but most people can't do that. It's not feasible for most people.
Right.
So in order for those customers to get the products they need and to have the outcome that they're looking for, they need to have access to higher dosed edibles. And until Health Canada makes that available in the regulated marketplace, there is going to be a market for that in the legacy, and it should stay. Because those consumers need to have access, 100%. Right? Like we've always been about access from the beginning, and we think that's really important, right? Like we're here to serve the customer.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to serve ourselves or our own pocketbooks. So until we're able to serve all of the customers, we're happy to see that there are still channels available for all of them.
There are gummies out there that are 1,000 milligrams on the legacy market.
Mm-hmm.
And
insane.
I'm not talking about like 40 gummies in there. There's 5 gummies in there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Those things sell out.
Yep.
Things sell out. I mean, that being said, we tell people that don't have experience with edibles, start with 5 milligrams, go low, slow and, mm-hmm. and go low, wait an hour and a half. If it doesn't work, you know, find your dose.
Yeah.
But there are people out there that are like, I just want to get blasted on edibles tonight.
And that's fine. You should be able to.
Yeah.
Well, arguably, for somebody who has never tried edibles before, 5 might even be a little bit high. Really depends on tolerance and where you're coming from. But, I mean, to go back to your point about legal, which I always bring up, that probably the greatest thing about the legal market is that you know what you're getting every time, right? And that's what I love about it. And I think that's what will allow a lot of people to dip their toes in the water and say, I'll try a gummy. How strong is it supposed to be? You know you're getting what you're buying, right? Whereas in the legacy market, I mean, what kills you guys probably is that you can buy a 200 milligram gummy for $10. It's really hard to compete with that. But like you say, it's a different market. And if you can't sell to them, then you may as well not even be bothered by it. There's a lot of people going into, in my case, the BC Cannabis Store. It's amazing. The product line is awesome, but nothing over 10 milligrams, which sometimes drives me a little crazy. And the prices sometimes drive me a little crazy, but I know it's quality product. Yeah.
And I think, you know what, like, especially in such a nascent industry where we're trying to draw in so many consumers who are new to cannabis, who don't know what they're doing, I do think the dosing limits serve a really important purpose. Like, to your point, 5 milligrams is too high for a lot of new consumers, right? Yeah. We tell them to start at 2 or 2.5. And sometimes we'll come back and be like, that was too much. I didn't even like that, right? So since we're trying to normalize and legitimize cannabis for a whole group of people who haven't really used it very much, I think that the dosing limits are important for now, and especially until bud tenders really know how to provide proper education around edibles and making sure that consumers are starting low, going slow, not consuming too much, and aren't having overwhelming experiences from them.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what you guys make. What do you have on the market right now?
Right now, we have 2 SKUs on the market. We have a peach gummy made with THC distillate. That is 5 milligrams of THC. There are 2 of them in a bag. And then we have a raspberry lemonade gummy. That's a 1-to-1. It's made with THC distillate and CBD isolate, 5 milligrams of each. We have a strawberry kiwi gummy coming out in a couple months that will be 10 milligrams of THC, so a little bit higher dose. And then we've got some hash rosin edibles coming out in January that we are super excited about. That's a different input. It's a full spectrum input. It'll be a totally different experience for the consumer. Yeah. So we're really excited about it.
So obviously you guys are staying in the legal market from here forward. You guys are legit.
Yeah,
that's
our plan.
Absolutely.
Any advice for somebody in the legacy market that is considering jumping over to the legal side from your experience?
Yeah, a lot, I'd say. I'd say consider that very carefully, because for starters, if your motivation is money, it'll be a long time coming. It's going to be like you know.
And you're going to have to put some in.
In our last year in legacy sales, we probably did more than do in the next 3 to 5 years of legal sales, I guess.
I don't know if that's true.
But
it depends.
I would say the biggest thing is understand that every single step of the way requires either a piece of paperwork, something to fill out,
approval,
right? Like I was saying before, like we could just run out and get sugar at the Metro and come back and use it. We have to order the sugar and get it qualified and all of these things, and then have it released by QA before we're allowed to use it. And then, oh wait, we don't know if this sugar is okay. Use a different sugar, right? So not to upset Health Canada, which I understand you don't want to upset Health Canada, right?
Of course, yeah.
The time to market, the runway is much longer. And the, you know, I didn't know what an SOP was, or a standard operating procedure, before I started this.
Yeah.
But I've signed 70 of them. Every LP has this. This is the way the system is set up, right? You know, there's a procedure for every single step of the way. And I would say, generally speaking, most people from the legacy market, myself included, are not really of that mind, right? Not really like thank goodness for Tab, because she excels at that.
Mm-hmm.
But to sit down with, like, honestly, the mountains of paperwork and what you have to go through just to get your product to start making it, let alone get it approved by Health Canada and then accepted by the OCS or other regulatory boards, I would say, honestly, like, really think about what your goals are, right?
And see if you can find a way to get connected with somebody else who can help you, who has a different skill set than you, right? Like, one thing that we've seen from the beginning of this industry is it was really not set up for entrepreneurs to succeed. That was not the focus and motivation of Health Canada when they were setting this industry up. So it becomes quite arduous on the part of an entrepreneur to figure out how to succeed in such a highly regulated space, right? You need to have a lot of money. You need to have good connections. You need to be well established. And that can be difficult for someone who's been an entrepreneur in the cannabis industry.
Yeah.
So the stories I think that we've seen so far that have been successful have involved people getting connected in partnerships that really made sense. So for instance, us getting connected with Meds made a lot of sense because we didn't have to invest to set up our own facility and figure out everything that went along with that. You've got some other edibles makers who have connected with a third-party manufacturer who can make their products, and then they focus on branding and marketing in the market, right? And so I think that a big piece of advice would be to really figure out what is your skill set? What do you do really well? And then who could you partner with who does all of the things that are necessary that you don't do very well, right? Like, I think partnerships are really a big key for entrepreneurs looking to make the transition from legacy to legal.
That's great advice, for sure. How do we find you guys online? How do we find your products in the stores?
You can find us online at fritzes.ca. We are on social media channels at Fritz's Canada. You can find us on the OCS's website, and you can find us at retail stores across Ontario. Oh, you could also find us at our farm gate. If you're in the area, our LP does have a farm gate, Royal Cannabis. And yeah, you can come get our product there. We've always got fresh product there.
Ari has a Royal Cannabis hat on, you know.
Yes, he
does. I do. I'm not trying to shill for them, I swear.
It's a good hat.
I just got the hat, obviously.
It's a good hat. It's a good hat.
I don't know if they're giving out hats to everyone. I'm not advertising that, but it's a good hat. I've got some COVID hair still, so here we are.
Hey, man, you get a good hat, you might as well wear, right? Thanks for doing this, guys. I appreciate it. And when I have an opportunity, I look forward to trying your gummies and anything else that you guys put on the market in the coming years. Thank you so much.
I can't wait to hear what you think about them. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Ari and Tabitha for telling us their story. And I'm sure there's many parts of that story that are yet to be written. If you're in Ontario, you can check out their products in the OCS and let us know what you think. You can also find them on social at Fritz Canada or online fritzes.ca. That's FRITZS.ca. So with an S. And hey, if you like what I do, please follow this podcast, leave me a comment, and tell your friends. Thanks so much, guys.